You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. This is Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, we got a real treat for you today. Tax time is rapidly approaching, and this is just the person you need to hear from, taxgoddess.com, Shauna, and correct me on your Weckerlin.
You got it. I was going to say, nobody even uses that last name. Everyone calls me Shauna the Tax Goddess, so.
Well. We're big on names here, so. But hey, so you're the tax goddess. What makes you a tax goddess?
Great question. So a lot of it is the specialty. So I specialize in strategic tax planning. And so according to Google, there are 660,000 CPAs, right? And a CPA can be anyone, an auditor, a CFO, a tax preparer. When you start going up the levels that specialize in tax strategy, so there's 60,000 that have masters in taxation, which is me. You have 607, which are certified tax coaches. So we all specialize in tax strategy only, right? And then out of those 607, there are 15 of us, which are certified tax strategists. So I'm in the top 1% in the country for specifically tax strategy.
And who certifies you?
There's an organization out of California. It's the AICTP. So,
the Association of
International Certified Tax Planners, I think.
Okay. All right.
Way too many acronyms in my industry, just like yours. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, we know about that. I'm a recovering attorney, so I know a lot about taxes. So, all years that I picked up in business, but hardly consider myself an expert. But so, your website says tax planning on steroids. What's that?
That's the one. Absolutely. So really what we find, most people believe that their CPA is a tax strategist, right? So every year you take in your paperwork, you get your tax return done, and you're asking your CPA, okay, what strategies can I do this year to reduce my taxable income? Now, there's two big problems with that. First one is most people ask their CPA about tax strategy after the year is over. So yes, there are some things that we can use to go backwards, right? We can use cash balance plans. We can potentially pay kids and go backwards, master's exemptions. There are some things that we can use to go backwards, but 98% of the strategies need to be done in the year, right? So if you don't do them or implement them before December 31st, there's only so many tweaks that we can do after the year is over. So the first problem is people are looking at their CPA saying, you're a specialist in strategy. No, right? There are, as I said, 660,000 CPAs across the US. Not everyone specializes in strategy. And the second one is if you don't do strategy during the year, the likelihood that you can get significant results is extremely diminished. So.
Interesting. So, looking at it, so obviously you have to do it before the end of the year because your options are limited. You know.
So we look at about 400 strategies for every single client, and there are about seven of them that you can do after the year is over. And those seven are great. Don't get me wrong. You know, we're dropping with just those seven, we're dropping people's tax bills by $20,000 to $40,000 a year, which is still great. But if we can plan during the year, our average savings per year is $149,000 per year if we can plan during the year. So big differences.
Yeah. You're talking high income people here. What's your average client's income?
Absolutely. So we only work with people that have at least $300,000 a year take home, right? And they're paying at least $100,000 in taxes. The average right now is sitting at around $650 in income, paying about $250 or $300. Depending where you're at in taxes.
And you really can save $150,000. So give us an example of some things that you did for one of these well-heeled taxpayers here.
Absolutely. So one of the easiest places to start is with business owners, right? Because of course, the IRS tax code is written to the benefit of those that own businesses. Now, it could be a big business, it could be a sole proprietorship, you know, a 1099 gig, whatever it is. But having a business allows you access to hundreds of tax strategies that as a W-2 employee or even someone who's retired may or may not have access to simply because it doesn't apply without owning a business. So some of my favorite ones that people either have never heard of or their CPA has never brought up, the paying your children is always something. Now, you can pay grandchildren as well, which I hear pretty often. I've got 8 grandkids and that wipes out my taxable income, which is fantastic. Things like the master's exemption, which is my personal favorite. I'll give you an exact story. So I live in Arizona. I live in Paradise Valley. And my old home was in Scottsdale, Arizona. So depending on where you live, the rental rates for the master's exemption can change significantly. So my old rental rate was $3,500. My new rental rate is $11,500 per event. So
tell us again what a master's rate is here.
You got it, the master's exemption. So sorry, I start to dive way into detail. I'm so sorry, Carrie. Thank you so much. So yeah, the master's exemption starts with you as an individual. If you own your house, and it's okay if you have a mortgage, but if you own your house versus renting, you are allowed to rent out your house to somebody else for up to 14 days a year. And that rental income is not taxable to you in any way. Just doesn't even show up, right? It's not taxable at all. Now, of course, most people instantaneously think of, well, I don't really want to Airbnb my house. You know, I've heard horror stories about people renting out their house and they're ripping out the copper from the walls, you know, just these terrible, terrible stories. If you think about it, and this is the way the IRS looks at it, your business is separate from you, right? If it's an LLC or partnership, an S-corp, C-corp, it's got its own EIN. In the eyes of the IRS, it is an individual, right? It is its own entity. So your business can actually rent your home from you. And that's where these rental rates come in, right? As long as it's being rented for a business purpose. So a mastermind group or a networking event or your favorite vendor and a couple of clients over for dinner, okay? Mm-hmm. So as long as there is a business purpose to the event, instead of going and renting a conference center or renting out a private room at a restaurant to hold this dinner, you can actually rent out your home to your business. Now, the benefits of this, of course, is that that rental rate, so as I said, $3,500, the highest one I've ever seen in the country was a little over $17,500 per event. And so if you can do 14 of these things a year, let's take the averages closer to about $5,000. So $5,000 times 14, you're talking about a $70,000 tax deduction. Your company gets the deduction and you don't pay tax on any of the money at all. So you are $70,000 richer in your pocket. Probably one of my favorite tax strategies. Well,
that's pretty cool. So that's called the master's exemption?
Yep. It'll normally go by one of two rules, either the master names, either the master's exemption or the Augusta rule, one of the two.
Oh, so that was for a golf event.
Yeah. So where it all started was in that area, right? Where in Georgia, right? Where they hold the master's exemption or the master's tournament. There are tons of senators and congresspeople that own homes in that area. They wrote themselves their own rule. And so of course, thank goodness for being US citizen, right? If the rule is there, the rule applies to everyone. So you can use it too, which is great.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. All right. Yeah. I like it. So what's the maximum you can deduct for that?
So you do need to do research because it's completely based on your location, what other hotels are charging, that kind of thing. But the highest number I've ever seen is about $17,500. The lowest number I've ever seen is about $500 in like really rural kind of areas.
Right.
So, you know, if you're in Manhattan, it's going to be very different than if you're sitting in Ohio. So.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. I like it. Okay,
so,
give us another here. Give us another Easter egg here.
Another Easter egg. Okay, so one of my next favorite ones is the 831B program. Now, this is captive insurance, and it's one of the areas, this is on the IRS's Dirty Dozen list. So I'm going to explain why is a CPA, Masters in Taxation, ex-KPMG talking about an IRS Dirty Dozen list item. Okay. They're just like every other tax strategy. There's a good version and there's a bad version. Okay. So you don't want to be obviously ever doing anything when the IRS is Dirty Dozen list. We'll have to come back to the aggression scale, Harry. But you never want to do anything on the IRS's Dirty Dozen list. But if you're using an 831B program well and properly, and you're using it above board, it has been approved by the IRS. Now, what is an 831B program? So I'm going to use COVID as an example. Okay? Every company has insurance of some kind or another, right? General liability, employee theft, you know, whatever type of insurance that particular business needs. There are some risks that many insurance companies, you know, your general State Farms and Farmers and that kind of thing, will not insure, okay? Because those are risks that are above and beyond the standard business insurance, all right? So some of the most common risks and what we saw in COVID was the act of God, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use a very specific example. I had a client who does the catering for some of the Major League Baseball teams, okay? And of course, COVID came in right at the beginning of spring training, right? So he had bulked up, purchased all the food, gotten everything ready, and then instantaneously overnight, all of his services got shut down. When I spoke with him, he said he had about 600,000 of food spoilage. Wow. So of course, what did he do? He went to his insurance company and said, "Hey, right? This is why I've been paying you premiums for years and years and years, right?" And what did they tell him? "Sorry, act of God, we're not covering that." Okay. So he went to his 831B insurance company, okay? And he said, act of God, he had an act of God policy because no one ever thought something like COVID could happen, but obviously it can, okay? Now, 831B policies can be anything that is a reasonable risk. So act of God, clearly reasonable, okay? What about some big things like He-Man insurance? Your key man decides to steal your client list and run off with it. These are risks. Enterprise risk management. What happens if you have an overseas team in India and there's a huge hurricane and it knocks out half of your office? Right? These are risks and they're real depending on which business you're in. So an 831B company, generally, each provider kind of does it slightly differently. But generally, an 831B allows you to put up to 15% of your gross revenue for your business into an 831B. Your main business gets a deduction because it's an insurance program. Okay, so it gets a deduction. You don't pay taxes. Yep. And then your 831B company, now these are C Corps, okay? So you have two choices on what to do with the money. Well, three, really. You could put the money in, and then you could shut it down. You'll pay tax. You'll pay about 20% long-term capital gain tax on any money that you pull out of the insurance. So you could shut it down. Mm. You can borrow from the insurance company. This is what most of my clients do because the insurance company needs to invest in something, right? It's not just going to sit on
to build reserves.
Exactly. It's not just going to sit on money. It's going to do something. So maybe it's investing in real estate. Maybe it's investing in another business. Maybe it's whatever. Okay. The third way, of course, is you can borrow it for yourself as an individual. It just means that you need to have a loan. So you're actually going to make payments. You're going to have interest, this kind of thing. But you have access to your money to go and invest in whatever you want, and you have a tax deduction. And at 15% of gross, not net, 15% of gross, for many people, this can wipe out their net profit, which means they don't pay any tax at all, which is pretty
cool. And then if you have a claim, you get that money tax-free back to you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, so if you're a farmer and, yeah, there are government programs, but they don't necessarily cover all your potential losses from weather and acts of God and all that.
Yeah, you name it.
Certain policies won't even cover you if you get struck by lightning, if your property gets struck, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beattie-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has an excellent shareholder base, with Ross Beattie owning 20%, insiders 5%, and resource capital funds 8%. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yep. So these types of programs can cover any risk that is a reasonable risk. Where you start to get to the dirty dozen list of this is still one of the most famous cases. There was a guy with, I think it was 50,000 head of cattle, since you mentioned ranching and farming, 50,000 head of cattle. They grazed on high, like on mountains, right? So they weren't on lowlands. He bought an insurance policy to protect against flooding. On top of a mountain, you're not going to get flooding, right?
Unless it's a biblical flood in Noah's Ark.
But yes, that is one of the cases that went to the IRS Dirty Dozen list of this, because there was no real risk. Exactly. So you do want to be very careful when you're talking to providers about this. What kind of risk policies are they helping you with? If it sounds not related to your business at all, please run away. Okay. Please come talk to a tax strategist to pick the right version.
But you have to do this through an insurance company, right?
You are actually creating your own insurance company.
So captive, but you can reinsure.
You can reinsure. Exactly. Yeah.
So if I want to, if I am like, let's say General Motors, and I want to insure against Tesla putting me out of business, which is a very real risk.
Mm-hmm.
I could do that, huh?
Yep. Well, and that's what a lot of the big companies do. I mean, this is a very standard practice. And really the biggest difference that we find, and I'll be very honest with you, you know, I'm ex-KPMG. So I used to work for Coca-Cola and Pfizer. I mean, huge companies, right?
Sure.
They do this all day long, right? This is not new. This has been around forever, okay? But what we find, so my personal passion is helping the little guy, okay? So people making about $50 million or less, which in the big global world, that's little, right? Maybe mid-sized, you know?
Yeah.
So really, these strategies are never brought to their attention for two reasons, right? One, their CPA just doesn't know about them because they're not a strategist. Or two, because of aggression level. And this is one of the things, one of the very first questions that we ask every single client that comes to our office. So on a scale of 0 to 10, zero meaning the IRS never calls, never ever, except for a random audit, and 10 meaning we're all going to jail, where do you sit on that scale, Ben? Most, what we find, most entrepreneurs, most business owners come back with 7, 8, maybe a 20, and I have to drag them back to safety, you know, something like that, right? Because this is what they do in life. They're risk takers. That's why they're entrepreneurs, right? But most CPAs, can you guess where the average CPA sits?
They're like -3.
I was about to say 2. I think I give them a little bit more credit, but you're right. I mean, we literally, and it always breaks my heart, because we have clients come to us that say, yeah, my CPA wouldn't even let me write off my new car. They're like,
ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean, I got a question for you.
Please.
Talking about the big boys, how they do it.
Yes. Yes.
Why does like GE lease airplanes? And why does this one company, I can't remember which one it is now, owns like, it might even be GE, owns GE Capital. They own like all the railroad cars in the country. All the railroad cars. How do they get out of this deal?
What are we doing here?
Tax dodge. A tax.
Always.
Avoidance.
Always.
Scheme.
Legal. I was going to say legal avoidance, right?
Yeah.
Always legal avoidance. So yeah, the downside to me being a CTA, right? I like keeping above the line here. So
Avoidance, not evasion.
Thank you very much. Yes. So, well, let's talk about planes. Okay. Planes, trains, and automobiles. It always cracks me up, those three. So planes and boats, okay, tend to be, when you look at them from a cost perspective, generally it's better to, it just is, okay. Certain tax deductions are not allowed to be taken unless it's 100% business use. If you've got executives using it, or they're using it to go to the Bahamas, I mean, you get all sorts of problems, right? Versus if you're leasing it, your payment is a lease and you're fine, and it's a totally different matter. So a lot of the big companies will lease their equipment. Now, there's a second tactic here. Some companies will own the equipment in a different entity and lease from themselves.
Captive.
Exactly. Captive. Company. Yeah. Please. And either it's a brother or sister, or it's a subsidiary, or, you know, it just kind of depends on how and why all the other structure things are happening.
With a different taxpayer ID number.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you do it that way, and you can do this yourself with your own cars. Okay. So same strategy, just different size here. All right. If you own the property, so whether it's a boat or a train or a plane or whatever it is, when you own the property, of course, you get the depreciation write-offs. And for a lot of people, that is a huge number. I just had a client buy a $1.2 million yacht. He got 100% of it the first year, wiped out his tax, right?
It's very 179 happy. Accelerated
depreciation. Or 168, depending, yeah. Right? Yeah. So, and with a lot of companies, what they'll do is they'll set up that separate entity. It holds the assets, and then they have a lease back to themselves. Okay. So in the first year, they buy plane number one. They get a huge write-off. They are getting income, right? You have to have income, so they're getting lease income. That's fine. Second year, they buy another plane, or the train, or the boat, or whatever it is. So consistently, they're getting depreciation on this side. And all that leasing income, even though it's going from one pocket to the next pocket, all the leasing income is offset by the depreciation. So it's very similar to real estate in that standpoint. As long as you're continuing to grow your real estate portfolio, you get depreciation using cost segregation over and over and over again. And then when and if you die, you get step up in basis. So
okay, right.
It's a very similar tactic, just at a much larger scale.
Okay, but like GE Capital buys the airliners, and the other one, I can't remember, International IT something, they buy like 737s and A320s, and then they lease them to the airline. And, you know, basically GE Capital, GE, even when it was making money, it never paid any taxes, like for 10, 20 years.
Because you have massive depreciation, right? So if we're leasing to somebody else, basically what I've done, it'd be, because you must have income to take a deduction. This is another area where the IRS gets really mad. You can't set up a business, make $1, and then take $100,000 write-off. Right. So, but if you are in business and you are trying to make a profit, well, it's not my fault that you gave me a law that I can depreciate my entire $2 million jet, right? Like, I'm just following the law, right? So absolutely, they're playing deferral games. They're playing arbitrage with tax rates. They're, you know, all of these items come into play. And this is a part of the reason why when we do tax strategy, I never recommend that somebody says, oh, hey, my neighbor said it's a good idea to buy a car, so I'm going to buy a car. Mm-hmm. Because every single person, every single situation is different from each other. If you're married versus single versus have kids versus own or rent your house, you know, all of these things, even at a basic level, make significant changes in how we plan, which type of entity it is, where the cash comes in, who should be paying who for what kind of income. These kinds of things can all make significant decreases or increases if you do it wrong to your taxes. So,
okay. All right. Well, I think you've given us a good overview of all this. Shauna, do you have any books or publications that our members can check out?
We do. So but one that's a little bit older, The Tax Goddess Guide to Starting Your Own Business. I'm in the middle right now of working on a new one. It's called The 6% Life. So this one should be coming out in summer. And really, if you're looking to learn, if you're looking for more tax strategies, I would either check us out on YouTube. I film a video every single day about something, some sort of tax strategy, something going on. And of course, taxgoddess.com if you want to know more. So.
All right. Hey, the link is in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you go there, sign up for your free newsletter, sending one out shortly. And Hey, if you've got a question for the tax goddess, shoot me an email, kl@carrielutz.com, and we'll get you an answer. And Shauna, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming by.
Aw, thanks so much for having me. It was way too much fun.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.